So very, very thankful to be here with you once again this morning. I am overwhelmed with the blessings of God over this past week. And Jonah, can you close that blind right there? There's a car parked right there getting me in the eye. Thankful for the hospitality. Thankful for the wonderful preaching that we have heard, including this morning so far. I've got my Bible opened up to John chapter 11. That's not where I had it opened up into the car, but I think the Lord would prefer that I continue on with this subject that He was talking about because it's on my mind. While thus in sweet communion, I'll tell Him what I feel. Tell Him that I believe Him and that His love is real. Now let me ask you a couple questions about what Brother Roland wrote here. Does Jesus know that His love is real? So we don't have to tell Him anything that He doesn't know. Does Jesus know whether we believe Him or not?
Yes.
So we don't have to tell Him that. So why is it that we do tell Him? Because He's commanded us to do it. He has told us to express our love to Him. It's all right, brother. Don't worry about it. It's still this one over here, but it's not bothering me. The amazing thing that God has told us to do in going to His feet in prayer. Jesus even said that He knows, that our Father knows what we need before we ask. And so people say, well, then why do you ask? And Jesus says, because the Father says, you have not because you ask not. God has set it up that we are to have that communication with Him. Not so that God knows that we appreciate Him, although He needs to hear that from us, but so that we can know where our source of life and comfort and hope and peace and everything comes from. It's for us to get a better understanding of God. I want to go to John chapter 11 and look at these two sisters, Martha and Mary, for just a couple minutes. The brother mentioned to us two other events that involve these folks, and one of them is very peculiar in that it is they go to Martha's house. Folks, that's significant. Women didn't own property. And this is Martha's house. Don't know how that came to pass. Don't know if it was... Lazarus is their brother, and so he would have inherited their parents' house. So what happened there? I have no idea. All I know is Lazarus, youngest brother, sounds like, and then you got Mary, a middle sister, and then you got Martha, the older sister, taking care of the other two, and they're all living together in the same house, and Martha owns it. We find that these three are together a lot, and it's wonderful to see earthly families staying together as part of a godly family. There is no doubt in my mind that all three of these are children of God. There's no doubt in my mind, particularly in the way we see every time a meal is being prepared, Martha's doing it. We find on some occasions all of them prepare a meal, but we find that Martha is always working. Martha has faith to serve the Lord. Martha knows who this is. Martha knows these things need to be done. So does Mary. So does Lazarus. The difference is we find a different perspective and a different attitude from these two sister disciples. Every time we find Mary, if I'm not mistaken, brother, every time we find this Mary, we find her at Jesus' feet. I've tried to research that, see if I've got it, and I think every time that she's mentioned at being at Jesus' feet. This is a disciple of the Lord. We find another disciple of the Lord, her sister, who is present for all of the things that Mary was present for, a disciple of the Lord, a child of God. We never find her, though, at Jesus' feet. As a matter of fact, we find her in His face. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, is the same thing this brother is mentioning, and that is our attitude as disciples of the Lord. Modern day Christianity has us getting in the face of God demanding things, like we go up to an ATM and punch in our number, stick in our card, and expect something back from God. That is not how the Lord works. And all we're doing is robbing ourselves. Martha robs herself by her attitude. She doesn't steal away her eternal home, but she is receiving no benefits of the kingdom. Even though she is a believer, we're going to find in this that Martha believes, but is getting no comfort. Let's quickly get into this story. They come to Jesus and the disciples. And the sister sent for Jesus saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." In verse 4 it says, "When Jesus heard that he said that he said this, 'The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby.'" Boy, there's a lot right there. Well, I want to take just a few things out of there. The sickness is not unto death. Now, who is Jesus? He's the Son of God, right? Which means He is God. Does Jesus know everything that's going to come to pass? Does Jesus know that Lazarus is going to die? Yes. As a matter of fact, we're going to find out Jesus purposely delays His going so that Lazarus would die. But He makes the statement, yes, He's sick, but it's not unto death. Meaning it's not going to end in death. Let me ask you a question. Did Lazarus die?
Yes.
But that wasn't the end of it. Jesus intended all along to raise Lazarus from the dead. Jesus intended all along to raise Lazarus from the dead. Now, if the God of all glory, the creator of the universe, says, "I intend to do something," can somebody stop him? Okay, so I want you to remember that. Regardless of whatever happens in between the time that Jesus said it's not unto death till he raises him from the dead, we know Jesus' intent is to raise him from the dead. Lazarus is going to raise from the dead. Regardless of what anybody gets in his way or says they believe or not believe. The fact is, it's an objective fact that's going to happen. Our subjective belief doesn't control that.
That's correct.
Okay? Our belief wavers, and that's what I want to talk to you about this little bit morning, is our faith, our belief wavers at times. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Perfect belief is not a requirement for eternal glory. If it was, we're all lost. Every saint mentioned in the Bible is lost because every single one of them wavered. It is not on us. It's on the faithfulness of God. Great is thy faithfulness.
Amen.
Skipping on down a little bit, they begin traveling. And like I've already told you, I believe Jesus delayed going so that Lazarus would die. Because he said one of the purposes of this is the Son of God to be glorified. He said, "Y'all going to know who I am." It's basically what it was. They didn't realize that's what it was. But he stayed back long enough for Lazarus to die so that the miracle that he did, nobody could fake that. He stayed gone that long. While they're eventually traveling to them, they come again. In verse 11 it says, "These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, 'Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep.'" Second time, Jesus says it's not unto death. He words it a different way this time. Then the disciples says, "Lord, if he asleep, he shall do well." What do you do when you go to sleep? Okay, it's so the body can heal itself. That's what they're thinking. Oh, he's doing better. He got to get some sleep. He'll get to be feeling better in the morning. "Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead.'" Lazarus is dead. So when Jesus said, "I'm going to wake him up," what did he mean? "I'm going to resurrect him."
Yeah.
Two times Jesus said what he's going to do. "And I am glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto them." He said, "I'm glad I wasn't there, because if not, you wouldn't get to believe who I am." We don't always understand the troubles and trials of life. And God didn't cause Lazarus to die. You know why Lazarus died? Because he was a sinner. The wages of sin is death. If you die, that means you got sin in you. God doesn't cause those things. God overrules those things. And when we see God overruling these things, then we can believe who He is. That's what Jesus is teaching here. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with Him. What's he talking about? They're getting closer to Jerusalem. They know it's a dangerous place. They'd already told him, Jesus, if you go there, they're going to kill you. And it amazes me, or actually it's recorded for us, that the disciples heard plainly what Jesus was going to do. They believed part of it, not part of it. Because we do exactly the same thing. Every time he told them he was going to die, he told them he was coming back. They forgot that part. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had laid him in the grave 4 days already. He didn't find that. He knew that. That's stated. Jesus knew the exact timing of everything that's going on. Now let's look at what's going on. And when many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went, and what's that next word? And met him. But Mary sat still in the house. She went and met him. Walked up to him, face to face with the Master of Heaven. We are taught in Hebrews that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. That's not what it's saying that we should do. We're coming to the throne of grace. We can come boldly, meaning we don't have to go through any other man, any other method. We don't have to go to a special place. We don't have to say a special thing. We can say, world, get out of my way. And we can go to the throne and go to the feet of the one on the throne. That's where the boldness stops. The boldness is against anything that would get in our way. The boldness is not coming into the face of God. Look at what this is a child of God, a believer who's hurting, but she lets her passion get in the way of her belief. And notice the results. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Is that true?
What
she said, and it's probably true. Okay? If Jesus didn't intend for the man to die, then he wasn't going to die. He would have healed her. She's not saying anything wrong. She knew Jesus had the power to do that. She had seen him do it multiple times. If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Is Lazarus dead?
Yes.
Okay. She said, all I could have asked for is that you've been here before he died. But look at this next statement. It's very peculiar. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. What else is she asking for other than to have her brother raised from the dead? What else is there? He's dead. The only comfort that she feels like she can get is if he is raised from the dead. Martha asks him and believes, I know if you ask the Father, I haven't seen you do it, but I know if you ask the Father, you can raise him from the dead. She asks him for it and knows that he has the power to. Folks, she believes, but she's got some unbelief in it, because notice what happens next. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Third time. Third time Jesus says Lazarus is coming forth. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. How many of you believe in the resurrection? How many of you believe that there is a single day of resurrection when the dead, children of God and the wicked, are going to raise from the dead, and we which are alive and remain are going to be changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye? We're going to be caught up in the air together with them. That's the gospel. Martha believed it, but was getting no comfort from it right then. Martha even said, Jesus, I know you've got the power to raise from the dead. Just ask your Father. See, sometimes we'll get an intellectual knowledge of a truth, but it doesn't hit home. And it all has to do with where we're standing. We old Baptists can really learn a lesson from Martha and Mary. We got a lot of intellectual knowledge that we get in people's face with. And to be honest with you, if you look in the book of 1 John, when we're in people's face, we're in the Lord's face. We're in the place of Martha, not Mary. Because the only way we can serve the Lord is to be serving our fellow man. Martha had the head knowledge. Martha believed in the resurrection of the dead, but Martha was in Jesus' face and got no comfort from that doctrine. I've been there. This gospel preacher, I will teach about election, and then within 24 hours, I'll wonder whether I'm of the elect. Why is that? It all has to do with my attitude. Somebody said, well, the devil tempted you. Yeah, he does that sometimes. Sometimes it just has to do with my attitude. That I think I'm worth more than I am by myself. When I forget that my entire worth is in Jesus Christ, I get in the Lord's face, wanting a sign. You know, the Gentiles seek after a sign. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way. I don't think she was comforted yet. She went and got her sister. But she said, yes, Lord, I believe. I know what you're saying. But and she turns and goes away from him. I am the resurrection and the life. You know, a little while after this, Jesus is going to say those words, I am. And it's going to knock some people down. It did. When it says they fell back, the Son of God spoke. And wicked men fell at the name of God. Martha didn't fall. Because Martha was one of God's children. And that name was not a name of fear. But again, she's getting no comfort because of her attitude of how she came to Jesus. The same way it was when she was busy about fixing stuff in the house. Is it was her attitude of, am I the only one doing this? She said to them, yea, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God. That's one of the best confessions there is. But she's still hurting. And as soon as she heard that, she went and told Mary. Now here's something that's absolutely awesome to me. Do you know you can be an evangelist even when you're walking in unbelief? Martha is right here. Martha believes, getting no comfort whatsoever, goes back home, says the master's looking for you. That's an evangelist right there. Even though she's not getting... So what I'm telling you, sometimes you might not feel like going to church. Invite somebody else. Just because you don't feel like it, somebody else might need it. Mary needed it. Martha knew her little sister needed it. And loved her. And even though she wasn't getting it, she said, Mary, he's calling for you. She still... See, if you lived your life based upon how you feel at the current moment, you're not going to ever get anything done, and you're not ever going to serve the Lord. Trust Him. Be obedient to Him. Then the comfort comes. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. It even says met him again. Not where Martha kneeled and where Martha met him. I think Jesus is walking along the road. Martha comes up to him. Jesus stopped dead in his tracks. And I don't think he moved his feet. I think he stood there, had a loving conversation with somebody that was believing what he was saying, but didn't have the right attitude. I don't think Jesus rebuked her. He just was loving to her. I don't think he moved. I think he stood exactly right there. Mary came. Then the Jews which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, they rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth into the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, listen to this, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Have I heard that someplace before? Martha said, if I'm not mistaken, the exact same words. What's the difference? She's at his feet. There was nothing wrong with the statement. It's a true statement. But is our attitude in coming to the Jesus, the friend of sinners, He calls us friend. He's still our King. My friends can do some things for me, but a king can do a whole lot more. You come to Him because He's called you friend and He's made it where you can come to Him. But when you get there, you get on your feet. You get down at His feet, on your knees, on your face. Saw a man out in West Texas one time, pretty rich fella. People talked about him all the time, about his $3,000 suits. The man didn't give one bit about that $3,000 suit that he was wearing when it came to praying to the Lord. He was prostrate, flat out on the floor. Not just on his knees, chest and everything, laying down on that old dirt floor in West Texas. Our attitude in coming to the Lord. See, here in America, we live in freedom. We don't know what it's like to have an earthly king over us. And so sometimes we treat God like a politician. Brethren, He is the only potentate. You know what that means? He is the only one with power. He is the supreme King, and we need to approach Him that way.
Amen.
If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, Where have ye laid Him? They said unto Him, Lord, come and see. Why didn't Jesus respond to Mary the same way He did to Martha? Because of their attitude. The attitude. Both of them were asking the same thing. But I think Mary came in humbleness, knowing. Well, it's like this. When you pray for rain, I don't know if you have to do that much up here, but in Texas we have to pray for rain a lot. If you pray for rain but you don't carry around an umbrella, are you praying for rain? Are you doubting the Lord? That's kind of what Martha did. Okay, she's believing. She knows the facts. She calls Him the Son of God. She knows He has the power, but she's not believing it's going to happen. Mary, on the other hand, doesn't make the statements of... She doesn't even say who Jesus is. She doesn't say Jesus has the power. She doesn't say, I know if you ask the Father... I didn't notice that before till now. Mary doesn't say all of those things. Martha actually has a better understanding of Jesus' power than Mary does. So what that tells me is I don't have to know everything. I just need to know who I need to go to and what kind of attitude I need to have when I get there. Because He's going to take care of what I don't understand. And He said, Where have ye laid Him? They said unto Him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how He loved Him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Is that a true statement? Yes. But they were accusing Him of not showing up on time. Okay, we do the same thing. Okay, we live in a microwave society, and when you go to Burger King, y'all have Burger King up here, McDonald's. When you go to McDonald's and you don't get your hamburger 30 seconds after you order it, you get a little bit upset. By the way, if you order something and you're eating it 30 seconds later, maybe you should not be eating it. It might not be food. We live in such an instantaneous society that we think God is that way. Jesus, all along, said He's going to raise Him from the dead. Said it three times. His intent was that He would be glorified in their eyes. Jesus was always going to raise Him. It's just not happening on everybody else's timetable. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in Himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto Him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Look back over at verse 27. Yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. The same woman that just confessed, the best confession there is in the Bible, is only thinking in earthly terms. A few verses before that, she said, I know that whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Those were statements of faith, but it was mixed with earthly doubt. Thanks be to God, we don't have to get that worked out. That He comforts us anyway. And whether we believe it or not, God does what He's going to do. Because look what happens. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, that thou shouldest see the glory of God? He does not say, didn't I tell you if you would believe, I'd raise him from the dead? He didn't have to do that because he was going to do it anyway. What he said was, didn't I tell you if you would believe, that is a work that we do, that you're going to see the glory of God. The work was going to happen anyway. But our act of belief lets us know what's happening. Lets us embrace that it's the Son of God that's doing it and not a surgeon made a mistake in an accident and the fella actually lived. Our belief is extremely important in our understanding of what God has said He was going to do and what God has done and what God will do in the future. It's not going to change any of the things that God said. God said He's going to predestinate us to be conformed to the image of His Son. God said that He's going to raise us from the dead. The spirit of adoption, the adoption of the body, those are all the things that deal with predestination, not things here in time. Those are going to take place, whether we believe it or not.
That's right.
That's why Paul said you need to get reconciled to God. He's talking about in their mind. God's perfectly fine with choosing you. Are you fine with the fact that God chose you? That's the battle. The battle was in Martha's mind also. Said that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Lazarus didn't come walking out of the tomb. Lazarus came floating out of the tomb because he was still wound up in all of the grave clothes. We can't raise someone to spiritual life, but we can take the grave clothes off of them. That's the job he gave the disciples to do.
Amen.
We can't raise them to life, but we can help them peel off all that old dead stuff that the old man has. See, folks, as I mentioned to you just a few minutes ago, there's a big difference between an objective fact and a subjective belief. An objective fact is 2 + 2 = 4, whether I agree with it or not. The fact is, God chose you before the foundation of the world, whether you like the doctrine of election or not. The fact is, God predestinated you to be conformed to the image of His Son, whether you like it or not. The fact is, God has said, I'm coming back for you, not to reign here on earth because He's already reigning in glory, but to take us home and to ultimately raise us to bodies that are incorruptible and undefiled, to inheritance that fadeth not away, whether we believe it or not. It's going to take place. Now, two things for you here as I close out. One of them is an account from the Bible. Jesus told the disciples, let's get in a ship and go to the other side. When Jesus said, let's get in a ship and go to the other side, is there any doubt that they're going to get to the other side? No. So, when they get on the boat, what does Jesus do? He goes on the back part of the ship, he pulls up a pillow, and he gets a nap. He goes to sleep. But what happens? We get the song, Master, the Tempest is Raging. Worst storm these fellows have ever seen happen. And they come to him, like Martha, carest thou not that we perish? You ever admit it? Have you ever gone to the Lord and said, Lord, don't you care about me? But then you go back to church or you go back to the Bible and Jesus has said, hey boy, I told you you're going to get to the other side. I did it all. This little storm you're in right now, it's not going to prevent you from being with me in glory. I told you, we're going to the other side. And then he says, peace, be still. And he calms that storm. A few years back when we lived in Florida, There was a young family lived next door to the church house there at West Palm. And we were up working on the doors of the building on a Wednesday night, and I heard some horrible screaming next door. Their little girl, 3 years old, had drowned in the pool. I got the mom and the dad, got them in my car, and the police officer said, "You stay on the bumper of that ambulance and don't get off of it." He said, "You go through every red light, no matter how fast he goes, you stay with that ambulance." I took them there, and they revived the young girl that night, but after a long 2.5 days, the doctor had to come in and tell her 3 times that her daughter was dead. It wasn't until I told her for the 3rd time that her daughter was dead that she believed it. That's a hard, hard thing. As we're sitting there in that hospital room, the mom is sitting across from me and the father is at the foot of the bed. And I said, "We'll see her again." And the mom said, "Yeah, I know we'll see her again because I believe it." And I said, "Sister, whether you believe it or not, your daughter is in the face of Jesus right now and you'll see her again." And I physically got to see it. The tension melt away. I felt the room warm up. She'd heard grace the first time and looked me in the eye and was comforted in the moment of her daughter's death. Not because of me, but because the Holy Spirit came and filled that room. But an objective fact that her belief, she'd been taught, she's Catholic, she'd been taught that her whole life. It's all based upon what she was doing. She got comfort from the fact that she could let go. She could let go. That's a hard memory for me. But there's a good memory that goes alongside it. And that is, this is a Catholic family. It's a Hispanic Catholic family. And I'm a white boy preacher. And when it came time for the funeral, the Catholic priest that was running the hospital said, "You need that man to preach the funeral. He's the only one I know can do it." And he pointed at me. I preached deceased infant salvation that day and was amen by a bunch of Hispanic Catholics. Because it was an objective truth of the power of God. Because they were helpless. Brethren, we need to realize that even when we think we got this, we are helpless. And even when we believe, come boldly to the throne and then get out of His face and go down to His feet and say, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I know whatever You want will come to pass. Lord, let Thy will be done in me, in the earth." May the Lord bless you all is my prayer.